Good morning, church. Did I catch y'all off guard? Okay. Good to be back up here. I thank God for allowing us this opportunity to come together. It is wonderful to be back up here. I hope I'm able to deliver what we came for, and that is a worship service and a message of God that will deliver us until that day. I think it's important that we look at trying to do better, trying to grow in Christ. I also want to thank Curtis and the leaders of the church for allowing me this opportunity to come before you to deliver God's word. It is imperative that you have good leaders. Not that because they allow me to come up here, but I'm telling you, a ship without a rudder is just lost. It's out there. You need to have leadership. My church family, I can say with 100% certainty that my church family, meaning you, in a whole lot of cases have been more inspiring and close to me than people of my own biological makeup, my own blood, my own family, personal family. And thank you for being that to me. Thank you for being that. It's one thing to be biologically attached, but it's another thing to be spiritually attached. You can live in a house as a stranger. You can. I want to thank my wife, the children. They always come out. But if I'm driving, you know, it's almost like you can handle that. You know. I'm in control of that. Thank them for that. If you would please allow me to say a word of prayer, I'd like to try to ask God for help and support before I get up here and deliver his message, because I want to do what's right. I truly believe that God is in charge, regardless of what we think. So if you would, please bow with me. Heavenly Father, thank you for this opportunity. Thank you for this day. So many things that we overlook, we take for granted, Father. But as we cut into this gift of life for this very moment, Father, we ask that you move anything that's unclean out of our hearts. Open our minds up, that we can study your word and worship you, Father, and that everything we do and I say is in the uplift and teaching of your word. I ask these things in your son Jesus' name. Amen. My scripture will be coming from this morning, Ephesians, chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. Chapter 6, verses 11 through 18. When you have it, say amen. I will read. Put on the whole armor of God, that you may be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. For we wrestle not against flesh and blood, but against principalities, against powers, against the rulers of the darkness of the world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God, that ye may be able to withstand in the evil day. And having done all to stand, stand therefore, having your loins girt about with truth, and having on the breastplate of righteousness, and your feet shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. Above all, taking the shield of faith, wherewith ye shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked, and take the helmet of salvation and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, and watching thereunto all perseverance and supplication for all saints. Now, before I get into my lesson, I guess you're saying Ephesians. Ephesians, the book of Ephesians. Let me talk a little bit about the history of Ephesians and why I get into my lesson. The book of Ephesians, when I first got into the Bible, listened to the word, I was introduced to Ephesians off the very first verse of chapter 6. Children, obey your parents in the Lord for this. I think that's what it said, isn't it? Yeah, children, obey your parents in the Lord for this. Right. See, that's when they were forcing you to say Bible verses in school. I learned it. That's where I got that from. But the book in and of itself was penned by Paul somewhere around 60-61 A.D. This was penned when Paul was in one of his incarcerations in Rome. Got a lot of time to think. The history of the book of Ephesians. Why? Ephesians? Ephesians deal with topics at the very core of what it means to be a Christian. What it means to be a Christian. Both in faith and in practice, regardless of any particular problem in the community. That in and of itself brought me to where I am today. That by itself brought me to the world's situation and how we're living right now. That in and of itself brought me to preparations to do battle. My title, Preparing to Do Battle. I think one of the biggest misconceptions of us here today, all Christians, is to believe that you're prepared for what's out there in that world with 1 hour or 2 hour of the times you spend on Sunday morning. That's ludicrous. It is absolutely crazy to think that everybody you see believe exactly like you believe. I also, you can go ahead and, you know, just write me off great as he's a burnt out fan belt. He's almost off the pulley. His medicine is, it's obsolete. He should be put out. Something is wrong with Grady. But I believe that 90% of the problems that we're dealing with today is because we as parents are not doing everything we need to do at home when it comes to raising our children. You can get mad with me, but listen. If you were raising or growing an oak tree, you would take that oak tree, you would plant that oak tree as a sapling, you would nurture the ground, you would get the environment prepared for it, and you would monitor that tree. And when that tree would start to lean one way or go another way, you'd put a brace on that tree to keep it going in the direction it's supposed to go. But once that tree got to a certain point, that brace ain't going to do you no good. That tree is gone crooked. That tree is gone astray. At that point, there is no help for that tree other than cutting it down or cut away. Grady, what's that got to do with preparing to do battle? Just stick with me. I'm going to get to you. If we raise our children up, put that brace, guide him, nurture him, put him the way he's supposed to, we can halfway control some of that straight growth. So we don't have to be in the street when he's grown and can't be bent throwing bricks at one another. You see, when Paul is stressing here, prepare for battle, Paul is not just talking about bad things and how you think. But Paul is talking about a whole world out there of underflowing current that's going in many different directions. Guidance, influence, things that's causing problems for you that are opposite of where God have us at. Paul is stressing to us that you got to be on guard. Paul is saying that without question, this thing is bigger than being in the church. Paul is saying, whatever you do, be prepared to do battle. Whatever you do. See, as much as we want to believe it, coming to church on Sunday morning doesn't constitute an outright, straight, run-of-the-mill Christian. Please, don't get mad with me, but it don't. It don't. And what we're going to do, we're going to talk about and discuss some of the problems that we run into because we're not prepared for battle. Let me tell you something about preparation for battle. Preparation for battle. You know, I joined the Army in January 12th, 1976. My daddy signed for me to join the Army. I was 17. He did. They had a program called Delayed Entry Program, DEP, Delayed Entry Program. And June the 11th, I went on active duty because my birthday was January the 12th. So when I went in the United States Army, first thing in my mind is that, well, I'm 18 now. I'm tough as woodpecker lips. It ain't going to take much to whip me into being a soldier. Huh? I'm ready. We and Leon used to jump off the top of the house. Look, I can do this. Huh? I felt that I was physically ready. All I need is just know the stuff. I went into the United States Army. They got what they call, every single service got what they call a form of basic training, BCT, basic combat training. And those, however many weeks it was for me, it was 9 weeks, you go through what they say it takes to make you a soldier. They spend that entire time teaching you how to defend, fight, kill. They're putting it on you, getting you ready, making you prepared for battle. Mm-hmm. Oh yeah, they go through it. We out there doing horizontal, lateral, inverted, crawled up in the morning, eating egg, running off the plate, running, hollering, kill them all. We ready. But as any training go, at the end of the test, at the end of the course, you have a test. Huh? As my daddy would say, that's where the bear comes out of the tree. Right there. Regardless of how much we talked about it, we knew it was written on the orders, we've seen all the classes, we've seen the pictures up there where they graduated before you, I'm here to tell you, on the day that test come, we weren't prepared. 2 o'clock in the morning, a bucket come down, the barracks fired up, bam, whistles blowing, horns going off, get up, they're cussing you out, telling you how no good your family is, and you grabbing your A-bag. That had nothing to do with me jumping off the house. I wasn't prepared. And then when they get us, they take us out there and march us. While you trying to recover, it's dark, we walking down, you know, you got your weapon, you walking down some wooded area, you don't know what's going on, you're hoping this thing is about over, and all, you know, you're not realizing, you find out, the ones in the front start to wiping their eyes, what's going on? But you ain't paying attention, because you are so glad to be away from the barracks, by how they were cutting up, you hear me? And after a while, you find out more and more, and now your eyes are starting to burn. You stop it. You've been gassed and don't know it. Yeah. We weren't prepared. See, we had the training. We had the training. They done taught you about how to put the mask on the whole night. And when we finally figure out, we crying and slobbing snot on us everywhere. We put masks on, trying to clear it and trying to get straight and everything. Boom! Artillery simulators come along. They just cut up ugly. Bomb guard, you got to take cover the whole 9 yards. And my point here is that but prior to that, there was 8 weeks and 6 days of training to get me ready for that time. And I wasn't ready. Prepared for battle. So with that, if you will, we're going to look at what Paul got here. We're going to look at what Paul got here and how that relates to us in life. See, we have a big moral Christian obligation here that our Christianity go beyond this door. That we don't just stop by coming in here and saying prayer in the morning, amen, and everything is going to be all right. We need to get prepared. We need to remain prepared. We need to find some means of being vigilant that we can see the obstacle, know what's coming, and be prepared for it. See, here's the problem, and me and Tony often talk about this, is that a lot of times you go with a moral attitude of Christian person to whatever you deal with, but whenever you go out there with that person, you find out their morals ain't the same place as yours. And before you know it, you upset with them. Now both of you sinning. What's the difference between you and them? You better be prepared for battle. See, in a physical battle, it's easy. It's easy. You fighting an object you can see. That's easy, man. Look, I don't care how big it is. If I know the bear's over there, I can handle that. Yeah. Man, we used to crop tobacco. I'm tough as anybody. The snake that I see, I'm tough. I can handle it. The ones I couldn't see and reached up there and touched them, man, I'd tear the whole barn up getting out of there. You hear me? Scare me half to death. Dealing with Satan, the spiritual, that undercurrent, that toll, that attitude, that mentality is what we got to be prepared for. That's what you got to deal with. See, this physical body that we're fighting for, the things that we're dying to own, we're trying to cherish, we can't take any of that with us. You strategize in your attack wrong. You dress up on Sunday, come to church, sit there, amen, praise God, good to see you. Yeah. But when you go to work, I'm here to tell you, in the Bible, there is no difference between me and anybody else walking the face of the earth. The difference is you choose different. You choose to be ugly. You choose to be mean. You choose to be vindictive. You choose to not follow God, or you choose to do right. That's it. So when you got your child, you got this coming up, and you're trying to raise him to do right, and you put him out in the street, well, we good to go because we go to church every Sunday, but you got him out there. In school, 8 hours a day with somebody that don't have the same moral values as you. How solid is your strategy on maintaining that child's salvation? How solid is your strategy on dealing with this battle? When Satan gets in and got you thinking, hold it, they ain't going to do that to my son. Are you being driven by your strategy to deal with the wiles of the devil, or are you driven by your personal desire to get a back or have vengeance on someone? Which one is it? Paul says you got to be prepared. Paul says it's coming. Paul says it's out there. I submit to you it all day long, twice on Sunday. It's out there up front. And if you are thinking for some means or another, this only applies to the Bible, this is time has passed, and you, I say one or two things for you. You either unconscious or you need this sermon. You need this like a hog needs slop. If you can't see what's going on out here, there's something wrong. There's something wrong. That's the first thing you've got. You can't fix a problem until you actually acknowledge that it's there. Has zero to do, listen to me, don't do this to yourself, has zero to do with Democratic or Republican. Let me go on this side. Maybe y'all can hear it. It has zero, nothing, nothing to do with Democratic or Republican. No. Let me let you in on a secret that's not of Willard. It's right or wrong. All these other ifs, ands, buts, preferences that they got, it's immaterial. It's right or wrong. And it ain't just right on the inside of the church door. Huh? Paul talks about leaders. Leaders in high places, message. Listen, I'm sitting here getting ready to look at one of my good cowboy movies, or Chicago PD. And here they are up there. They cuts into my show to tell me about Jerry Falwell Jr. Huh? Man, Hank getting ready to take a guy to the... He finna take him on a ride. And y'all messing with me. He's the leader. And he's been doing this, that, and the other. He's like the rest of us. He sinned and fell short. We're wrong for putting him out there on that pedestal. If that's what y'all done. We done. Or I done. However we got. We're. Another one. This one gets to me. The Catholic Church, when I did the survey and checked on it, they make more money than anybody do. But here's what I had problems with trying to understand. I'm slow. You're going to have to help me from Willard. They have an account set aside to pay a lawyer to handle lawsuits against them for doing wrong. Now that don't make sense even in Willard. This is a church. You got so much wrong going on that you have to set. A fund aside and pay lawyers to defend. We ain't talking about the lawnmower attendant out there. Huh? They ain't talking about the choir. Or defend the leaders of the church. You better be prepared for battle, guys. You better be prepared. You got to be prepared. This ain't something that you find on the back of a rioting sign. Paul talks about this. Listen, you ain't going to believe this. 60 and 61 A.D. That wasn't yesterday. I'm here to tell you it wasn't. Yet and still, we make the same mistakes. Why is it applicable? You got to say to yourself, I mean, you know, at some point, the BB shot has got to settle in and say, why is it the solution then fits my problem now? Hello, the light comes on. You're doing the same thing. It's the same thing. And Satan got you thinking it's everything but right and wrong. Well, my party is a little bit this. That's too liberal. This is old Lord. Look, I'm here to tell you, if it's God's will, believe it or not, there's going to be a day after election day. I know it's hard, but trust me. If your person, whoever he is, don't win, the world will continue to spin to the right. Grady from Willard, North Carolina. I figured that out by myself. It's going to keep going. It's still there. The sun's going to rise in the east, going to set in the west. That's what's going to happen. That's what's going to happen. Water's going to be wet. Dirt's going to be dry. Every time. I don't care what happened. Those same things. You're born, you live, you die. None of that changes. So why in the world would you let someone sit here and pull you off from what God guides give you to be saved, your salvation, your very soul, the thing that he answered. What did he say? Love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, all thy soul, all thy might. Love who? Thy neighbor as thyself. How in the world can you step out of this door and say he one of them? He's a Republican. That's crazy to me. That is crazy. I know. Maybe my medicine expired. It may be. It may be. I talked to him the other day. They said he's going to send me some glasses because the pandemic got him shut down. Maybe. Maybe. But you know, they used to say when we were little coming up, they say, are those medicine glasses? They would say that to us. And I said, well, you know, that got medicine in it. How'd it get in you? You sit there and listen to that stuff. You follow the crowd. You go to these churches. You sit down here and let them take God's word and slightly manipulate and change and have you thinking that you are somebody of superior authority and have you doing and looking at somebody else different. You're not prepared for battle. I'm here to tell you. And if you don't get a grasp on it, that cute little baby that you got there, your grandchild, they're going to follow you. You know, the one thing about basic training is that we all have the same fault every time. You know that? That's a strategy. They do that because they know it takes less time to fix it. What happens is that they hit the front of the convoy with gas. By the time the front figure out what it is, I'm crying in the back. Yeah. The solution? Stop breathing. That's the first thing to tell you. It's a nine-step count. Stop breathing. Don your mask. That's what. Clear your mask. Put it on. She know. That's what it is. Here Paul is giving us an understanding and guidance about the fiery darts, the sword, your faith, standing in the word. And it don't mean, listen to me, he's not talking about, see, you got to appreciate this letter. Paul is in confinement. You know, when you're locked up, put off by yourself, you can do some serious soul searching. You hear me? That's what Paul is talking about. That's why he's pinning to this. Listen. He said to do battle with what's going on. See, Paul's going through some mess himself. And here we are, coming to church under the assumption that when I walk out, I'm prepared for battle. We're under the assumption that I'm straight. We under the assumption that my neighbor don't go, so he ain't straight. We under the assumption that when I go to work, when I go to school, when I go to play, wherever I go, that I'm covered and protected separately. How do you interact with the person you're dealing with? See, because that's part of it too. Make no mistake about it. You have a Christian obligation to love thy neighbor as thyself. I'm here to tell you. Not Democratic neighbors, not Republican neighbors, not conservative neighbors, all your neighbors as thyself. The only way that you can actually be prepared for what's out there is look at it as the same as you. You send what we call as an unspoken lesson to not just your kids, but whoever you out there with. I see Curtis, he go to church, and Curtis don't hang with nobody but so-and-so down the road. But you know he's a preacher at so-and-so. That's how that thing works. That's how that works. And before you realize it, you got a whole country here preoccupied with everything but knowing God. Everything. We got everything. Oh, yeah. I got one group of police saying I was supposed to shoot. The other group said I wasn't supposed to shoot. I got one saying I was supposed to stay together. And I got my son driving out here on the street. Daddy, what's next? You can't dodge this. You better get prepared for battle. You got co-workers going to work and actually misleading and mistreating or getting promoted over the other one because they're one of them. Satan using you. You don't realize it. You're using you. You need to be prepared for battle. It ain't 100 different strategies. It's one. It's one. It's one. You need to adapt God's plan. Philippians 2, 10 and 11 says that at the name of Jesus, every knee. It didn't have any exemptions on that. It said every knee shall bow and confess the name. That's what it says. That's what it says. John 14 and 6 says, Jesus answered, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No one, not even the high priest and the captain, no one comes to the Father but through me. If you think you can sit in your house and say, well, I ain't got to do that. I can sit on my house and put my hand on the corner of the TV and wait on that healing water and power to come through there and save myself. You've lost your rabbit mind. That's a term they use in the country. It means you're crazy. You've lost your rabbit mind. If you're sitting here believing there's some healing power in that little cloth that you got and the TV told you to touch it and you on your way to heaven, you have lost your rabbit mind. Your fan belt is off the pulley. There is no oil in your engine. You're going to die. It ain't in there. It's here in God's word. When you have people and leaders or something pushing you away from this, you don't grant any exceptions because they're leaders in the church. Because his car is bigger than yours. He's the deacon. He's the head trustee. We supposed to go. Ain't going to say nothing to him. You lost your mind. You weren't prepared for battle. You know what prepared for battle means? I got to look at my family, whom I love, look at my friends, whatever the case may be, and when something's wrong, say, that's wrong, Chris. I ain't going with you on that, Tony. I can't do that, Curtis. Greg, we ain't doing that here. You got to be able to do that. You got to get the intestinal fortitude. If you want to do this, be prepared for battle. Be prepared for what we call, where the sucker punch, the gut punch. It's coming. Because usually that one, that's a family that hurt you so bad, a family member give you the gut punch. He don't want to sneak one on you. They don't want to sneak one on you. The enemy you see coming. Snake you see bite you. Bear, he's over there. But when you wake up with a stranger in the house, under the guise that's got the same name as that you, that's the one that take you down. Be prepared. It's not what Grady, Curtis, or anybody says. It's God's word. I'm not putting anything out to you. This ain't this. It just so happened. I didn't, you know, opinionate the Bible. My opinion is because of the Bible. I agree. And I'm going to say this in a closing. Please don't get upset with me. Don't say this. I tell my kids, and I'm telling you as family members, when you come to me, I don't see it as a black and white issue. I don't see it as a Native American or whatever issue. I'm telling you, when you bring it to me, it's right and wrong issue. That's the answer you're going to get from me. I didn't just get there. It took me a long time. That's where I'm at. And I can say to you, listen to me, here in front of God and country, I can say to you today, as long as I'm in my right mind, until they take me to the river, that's what it's going to be. That's what it's going to be. For me, I'm putting my armament on. For me, I'm taking the sword. For me, I don't like getting surprised, so I'm going to be prepared for battle. To me, my greater responsibility is to my soul and my Father in heaven. I would like to bring the world with me, but I know without question, that ain't in my hands. That ain't in my control. So as I come here today, talking to you, preaching to you about life and what's going on right now, don't you sit here and fool yourself and thinking that we're in a special time. Sun still rises in the east, sets in the west. Right is still right, and wrong is still wrong. Your Father's in heaven, His Son lives. You either adopt, go, live, and become one of His, or you don't. Ain't nothing in the middle. Is there something in the middle, Christ? Is there something? That's it. Not part of the way, not half the way, not one tenth of the way, not a piece of the way. You're either all there or you're not. That's how it works. No horseshoe, no grenades count. Getting close ain't going to do it. I'm telling you, it ain't going to do it. You're going to have to look at it. You're going to have to look at you. You're going to have to look at you. You have to put your armament on, your helmet, your breastplate, your sword. That's how you got to do it. You can't just put it on when you step through the door. You better get used to wearing it. Thank y'all for being such a tentative group. At least you just put up with me until I got to the end of it. Maybe some of the things I said to you helped you. Maybe it didn't. But I tried my very best to bring to you every bit of God's truth and word. As I see life and as I see things today, head of a household and a brother and a family member to you, I don't see no way out of this. And I like to think I'm fairly intelligent. I don't see no way out of this other than through God. I just don't see it. You got something different? I don't even want to try. You stick with what you got. I'm going to continue to be great. So, if for some reason or another, your plan and your battle dress ain't got you where you need to be, maybe you want to try hearing the gospel, believing in Christ, repent of your past sins. This is all required. You got to do this. This is it. This is what you got to do. Confess Christ, be baptized, and live faithfully. That's your plan. We ask now if there's anyone as we stand and sing.
This time we come to a special part of our worship service, partaking of the Lord's Supper, partaking of the bread represents the body of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, the fruit of the vine, which to us as Christians is His blood. As we prepare in our minds for this partaking of the Lord's Supper, let me read from chapter 22 in Luke, beginning in verse 7 through 22. Then came the day of unleavened bread on which the Passover lamb had to be sacrificed. Jesus sent Peter and John, saying, "Go and make preparations for us to eat the Passover." "Where do you want us to prepare for it?" they asked. He replied, "As you enter the city, a man carrying a jar of water will meet you. Follow him to the house that he enters, and say to the owner of the house, 'The teacher asks, where is the guest room, where I may eat the Passover with my disciples?' He will show you a large upper room, all furnished. Make preparations there." They left and found things just as Jesus had told them. So they prepared the Passover. When the hour came, Jesus and his disciples reclined at the table. And as he said to them, "I have eagerly desired to eat this Passover with you before I suffer. For I tell you, I will not eat it again until it finds fulfillment in the kingdom of God." After taking the cup, he gave thanks and said, "Take this and divide it among you. For I tell you, I will not drink again the fruit of the vine until the kingdom of God comes." And he took bread, gave thanks, and broke it, and gave it to them, saying, "This is my body, given for you. Do this in remembrance of me." In the same way, after the supper, he took the cup, saying, "This cup is the new covenant in my blood, for which is poured out for you. But the hand of him which is going to betray me is with mine on the table. The Son of Man will go as it has been decreed, but woe to that man who betrays him." Let's all bow in prayer for the bread and the fruit of the vine at this time. Our God and holy, merciful Father in heaven, We thank you so much that we can be gathered here together at this place to give you the honor and the glory. To thank you, Father, for your Son, our Savior, Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, at this time for this bread and the fruit of the vine. Let us take so in a manner that is pleasing unto you. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. This concludes the Lord's Supper. At this time, we have the honor and the privilege to to give of our means that which we have been so ably gained to have in the name of our Lord. I would like to read from 1 Corinthians 16. Verses 1 through 4. Now about the collection for God's people. Do what I told the Galatian churches to do. On the first day of every week, each one of you should set aside a sum of money in keeping with his income, saving it up so that when I come, no collections will have to be made. Then when I arrive, I will give letters of introduction to the men you approve and send them with your gift to Jerusalem. If it seems advisable for me to go also, they will accompany me. Let's go to God in prayer as we give of our means. Our God, merciful Father in heaven, we thank you so much that we can be gathered here at this place in your name to give back to you that which is yours. We thank you, Father, for this opportunity. We pray that each one of us will do so as you have instructed. Guide us, Father, in our life, giving back unto you and giving to other Christians that are in need. Guide us. In Jesus' holy name we pray. Amen. As we are dismissed this morning, the baskets are at the rear of the church for placing your contribution.
person. Was it kicking you off this morning? Was it kicking you off? Did it kick you off this morning?
No.